Wait on the Lord. We live in an age of impatience. If there are four people in line at the grocery store, we call the manager over, demanding that he or she open another teller. We mutter if there are delays in service or our friends are tardy in returning our phone calls. And drivers are the worst. They can't wait at a traffic light or for a person walking across the sidewalk. Instead, they fume and speed dangerously because of the extra seconds they feel they've wasted by the wait. Road safety officers blame impatience for many motor accidents, saying it leads to speeding, tailgating, illegal lane changes, even road rage, which can all cause collisions. And if an accident can occur, or does, many impatient motorists make the scene even more dangerous by trying to find a way around the blockage. I recently watched a traffic cam which showed a plane forced to crash land on a busy freeway and was shocked to see motorists blithely speeding past the flaming wreckage. That same impatience often results in impulsive buying, which leads to enormous credit card debt. Even when making minimal payments, the mounting interest added to the original debt can take years for people to pay off. In a similar way, clerical errors caused by reckless haste can cause huge financial woes for companies or families. We face this when hasty decisions made by a rash bank official lost us a substantial amount of money. Someone has wisely said all human error is caused by impatience. Impatience can be a dangerous thing, as we may forego future happiness for immediate, if false, gratification. You don't get the promotion you feel you deserve, so you quit your job and are unemployed for months. Your kids don't listen to you, so you shout and threaten, leaving them with the notion and awful memory that anger is the best way to deal with noncompliance. Family or friends aren't there for you right when you need them, so you cut them off or out of your life. Your pastor doesn't come and pray for you when you want or what you want, so you blame him or God when things don't work out the way you'd like. Like a 2-year-old, we want what we want, and we want it now. Can you name a time when your impatience led to bad decisions or behaviors? I think we all can. Impatience makes us cranky, makes us blame others for imagined or real mistakes, make us shout at family or strangers for behavior that really didn't deserve our rage. If left unchecked, impatience can cause permanent anxiety and lead to impairment in our physical and mental health, to say nothing of the damage it does to our relationships and our own potential. Sadly, it can also have a lasting effect upon our relationship with God. Remember Cain? He didn't want to listen to God and develop better habits or a more generous spirit, and instead blamed his brother for his misery and shame and murdered him. Remember Abraham and Sarah? They didn't want to wait for the fulfillment of God's promise for a son and took the matter into their own hands, creating an Ishmael and centuries of animosity instead. Remember Joseph? He was so delighted at the dreams of grandeur and power that he boasted about them to his brothers and parents and found himself enslaved and imprisoned for years before the dreams came to pass. What about the people who only wanted Jesus to heal and feed them and left when his teachings became too difficult, or those like Judas who wanted a warrior king to free them from Roman rule? Can you think of other biblical examples? But just as there were those who couldn't wait upon the Lord, there were many others who could. Noah labored patiently for over 75 years in building the ark. And before then, the floods finally came. David waited almost 2 decades from the time the prophet Samuel anointed him as Saul's replacement until he became king of Israel. The already learned Paul studied for an additional 3 years after his Damascus Road conversion before beginning his public ministry. One of the first American presidents claimed, "Patience and perseverance have a miraculous effect before which difficulties disappear and obstacles vanish. There is something powerful that happens when we wait upon the Lord. Our trust is built by delaying our immediate gratifications for answers, solutions, provision, and healing. We show God that we trust in Him with not only the single moments of our lives, but for everything we are and have. Not only that, but we show Him that we can wait upon His direction when it really counts. As Solomon advises, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Whereas impatience creates situations that may not easily be undone, patience ensures that we know the way to go and do that. But no one said waiting is easy or patience can be obtained without struggle. That's why David writes, "Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous." Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. It does indeed take patience to wait, especially as we see everyone rushing ahead of us to get what they want. We may be afraid the feeding trough will be empty, but Jesus assures us as God feeds the ravens and grows the lilies, He will certainly care for us as well. "For it gives your Father great happiness," Jesus says, "to give you the kingdom." In fact, He assures us that we will find new strength. We will soar on high like wings of eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. When we choose to wait and trust in Him, He empowers us in ways that we can't even imagine, ensuring that our spiritual and emotional and physical strength will be multiplied and enhanced in the process. And even as God has enormous patience with us, we are to show the same patience with others. As Paul, when examining his own murderous and sinful life before surrendering to Jesus, declares, "But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of His great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in Him and receive eternal life." Impetuous Peter in his last days said the same thing to his congregation. "Remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved." Thus, just as the Lord was patient with us, we are also to be patient and pray for others continuously, especially those who are living selfish or rebellious lives, as we once were. For we're told God is patient for our sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But because we're waiting doesn't mean we're idle. We are meant to be continuing to clothe ourselves with other fruitful qualities like compassion, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Joseph was still busy even while enslaved and later while imprisoned, doing his chores faithfully and bringing glory to God in the midst of his trials. David did the same, obeying his father and shepherding his sheep before shouting down Goliath with his praises to God's mighty power. In the same manner, Jesus didn't rush His road to Golgotha. He labored patiently and diligently, gathering disciples, healing the sick, teaching the crowds, correcting the religious leaders, and showing all who would listen the love of the Father. That's why He could walk through the crowd who wanted to throw Him off the cliff, or tell His doubting brothers who wanted Him to go to Jerusalem and show off His wonderful miracles. "Now is not the right time for me to go," He said. So what can we do while we're waiting? We're to remain in the Lord with quietness and gratitude. David wrote, "I wait quietly before the Lord, for my victory comes from Him." And he encouraged us to trust in Him at all times. Pour out our heart to Him, for God is our refuge. That means don't fuss and complain while you're waiting, but find ways to thank Him for the people around you, the situations you're in, and the promises God has made to you. The next thing is to tell others about him. The psalmist declares, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And follows this with, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he's redeemed you from your enemies. There's always enough time and opportunity for this, as Peter showed us when he healed the lame man on the church steps. God calls us to be like the farmer who planted the seeds. It was the season for sowing, and he faithfully went out to sow the seeds, allowing them to take the full effect they were designed to do, with the sun and the rain provided by God doing its perfect work as well. Thus, beloved, sow the seeds God has given you and allow him to accomplish his perfect will in your life and through your obedience to his word, waiting on him quietly and confidently for his promises to be fulfilled. All will be well in him. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.